Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic, joined by Ross and Andrew, and we are here to talk about our nine pitches for AEW, Double or Nothing this Sunday. Before we kick off the video, I should mention that Adam Pacitti, our leader, will be doing a
Who's
live...
Who's leader?
The general, the Cultaholic Solar Systems leader.
He's not my leader.
No, but spiritually... he'll be doing his live-streamed reactions of AEW Double or Nothing on Sunday on YoChobe, so tune in for that. We'll also be doing a predictions video. It's all going to be really fun, but this is our pitches video, and if you're unfamiliar with the format, we're all going to take it in turns and go round in a circle, and it's going to go Ross, then Andrew, then myself, and we'll all give one pitch each three times, and that'll leave us with nine lovely pitches for the pay-per-view. And remember, the golden rule, it's not what we think's going to happen, it's what we want to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, bit of a tired one there from Ross.
Tired? That was meant to be seductive.
Oh, ooh. Sorry.
Bit saucy, you know. Look at him taking his jacket off.
Taking my top off now after that. Woo!
Is that Pikachu on there?
That is Pikachu.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
What does the writing say?
It says Pikachu. I don't know. I had a clue.
Right. I guess we'll kick things off. Oh, and of course, we'll be giving the two people whose turn it isn't to do a pitch, will be giving their verdict on whether it's a good one or not. So we'll start things off with Ross's first pitch. What have you got for us?
I need to preface my first one by saying I don't envy the position AEW find themselves in when it comes to match stipulations, because all of the other promotions own them all. So okay, they're trying to come up with some new ones. One of the unique ones they have in their arsenal is the Casino Battle Royal. And I don't know if it's just because Matthew sits on the Cultaholic Wrestling podcast. Every time it's brought up, he goes, I don't like it. I hate it. I don't like it. Well, that's rubbed off on me. But I'm starting to think, no, me no like it either, Matthew. Me no like it either. So this is straight from Wikipedia. This is, by the way, if you don't know what the Casino Battle Royal is, I've got some rules for you. This is straight from Wikipedia, which means, of course, it's got to be 100% correct. It begins with a group of five wrestlers. And every 3 minutes, another group of five wrestlers enter, whilst the 21st and final entrant enters alone. The wrestlers are grouped based in the suit they have, deck of cards, space, it's diamonds, clubs, or hearts. What I'm doing behind now, I've got no idea. And the order of when which group enters is based on a random draw of the cards. The 21st and final entrant is the Joker. The issue for that for me is that there's too many rules for wrestling fans. I'm sitting here, I'm silly. There's too much admin involved in that. I feel like I'm back in trigonometry class in high school or something like that when I'm sat there reading the rules for the Casino Battle Royal. So I'm suggesting we make a change. Where's my notes gone? I've lost my notes completely here. Sorry about this, everybody. Right then. Because the big issue for me as well is that you lose a pop, don't you, Jack? We were there live at the first Casino Battle Royal thingy. And how it happens when they just come out in the groups of five in their suits, you're sat there going,
who's that?
Who's that over there? Is that?
Yeah.
No, that's not him, is it? Oh, it is him! Hey! But then there's four other people, so they're all getting... it's all a big old mess, Andrew. It's not very good whatsoever. So I need to bring back the individual entrances and the individual pops. But I can't just have a B like a Royal Rumble, because, of course, WWE, that's their thing. It's fantastic. It's just a fantastic thing by itself. So to keep the casino theme, I'm suggesting we introduce a massive Roger roulette wheel. A huge one. I'm talking The entire stage might as well be a massive Roger roulette wheel. I've tried to come up with an AEW name for it, and I've come up with the AEW Dusty Rhodes, if you will.
Oh, yes. One second. I don't know if I'm just being ignorant, but what is a Roger roulette wheel?
That's just what I call it. Roger. Oh. It just seems like a fitting name. When I used to go down to Chisholm's and have a go on the machines, I'd just say, oh, time for some Roger roulette.
Okay.
Stephanie behind the desk, and she would go, oh, Ross, all the best. And then I would lose every single time. Don't gamble, kids. It's for idiots.
Like a big Eric Bischoff Raw roulette style vertical.
I'm talking the biggest roulette wheel, LED okay. roulette wheel you have ever seen in your life. A joy to behold, a spectacle for all of the ages. Right, so let's get rid of the cards and the suits. Let's have a massive wheel. That's what I've got written down in my notes here. On the wheel, each segment is every single member of the AEW roster. So it could literally be anybody entering next when the wheel spins. I should have read these notes before I start presenting this stuff because I'm completely lost here. We know there will be surprises in the Casino Battle Royale because Tony Khan has said as much. That is where the Joker can be used. There'll be one segment on the wheel that says Joker, and when it lands on that, you know there's a surprise coming. Then we get the entrance and the music, then we get the big surprise pop. So to keep the Rumble formula, we'll have the entrances come in one by one. Sort of, what is it, 2 minutes or is it 1 minute these days? Whatever it is these days. Let's say 2 minutes for argument's sake. But 10 seconds before the entrance is due to come in, the wheel is spun by mechanical things, so you always know it's going to stop after 10 seconds every single time. That way we get the pops back. That way everyone gets a proper like sort of surprise entrance. You don't actually know who's coming out where. You get rid of the convoluted bollocks. That is the suits and the decks and the cards and all that sort of stuff. And as I say, the LED wheel can be utilized because then when somebody enters, their segment from the board can get removed so it doesn't land on them twice. So I've tried to keep the Double or Nothing sort of gambling theme because we're in Las Vegas, we're doing all that kind of stuff. The AEW Dusty Rhodes, if you will.
I like it. I've got nothing else to add to it, really, or to ask. I think that you're right, the formula was a bit too confusing. I also think they don't make enough of the drawing of the cards. I don't think WWE make enough of the drawing of the numbers these days either, but I think this could get rid of the need for that, so that would be fine. And it keeps the mystery of the Joker as well. So it's a definite yes from me.
It's a yes from me as well. I like the idea. I'm surprised that they haven't sort of utilized the casino stuff a little bit more in the pay-per-view. And I think this would be a really fun way to do it. Like a Wheel of Fortune, you know, in Wheel of Fortune where they spin it and they do all the thing and it's like, where's it going to land? That's always exciting. And I think that's really good. I think that's a very good idea, Ross. So it's
Thank
a yes.
you very much, Andrew. That means a lot coming from you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Andrew, do you want to give us your first
I'll
one?
Right, I'll chip in with mine. Go on then. So we've got, obviously, we've got the AEW Women's title match between Hikaru Shida and Britt Baker on this card. And I think they're going to have a really hard-fought battle. I think both women are going to put everything into this match. We've seen what they both can do against other members of the women's division, and they're going to put on... I tell you what, guys, they'll put on a barn burner, that's for
sure. Let me tell you.
However, I would like to see, as I think many people would in this match, I'd like to see Britt Baker win this one. Maybe get the lockjaw in or something, get Shida to tap out. And perhaps after the match, like on Dynamite, she did last week. Britt doesn't stop there, though. She's coming. She's coming for you. She's coming for you. So she grabs the belt after she's won. But instead of holding it high, she throws it to the floor. Boof. Straight on the floor. What's happening? What's going on here? She's just won the belt, you know. She should be holding it high and celebrating a victory. Well, not quite just yet. She curb stomps Shida's face, not once, but multiple times into the title, right? Each time with more ferocity until the belt, it's all like bloody and it's all dented and it's just a horrible mess that we've got on our hands here. She finally holds it up and we get somewhat of like a Medusa in WCW moment where she just like walks over to the commentary table, she grabs a headset and she's telling the audience that this one is it's a statement to all the women in the back who think that they can challenge Britt Baker. That one. It's a new era for the AEW's women's division, one that, you know, should have been ushered in a long time ago. And that new era should signify change. So she's like, Reba, come on, come out here. And Reba emerges with, like, she's got, like, a velvet sack and then Britt Baker reaches into it and pulls out a lovely, new belt design, holds it up high, and the new era of the AEW's women division has begun.
What does the new belt look like?
It looks better than the current belt.
Correct, yeah.
I think I quite like in WWE that it just looks very similar to like the world, like they just the same kind of design. Something similar to that. Something that's a bit bigger, more extravagant, because it just looks like a bracelet at the moment. It's just not, it doesn't really, I don't know. I don't think it's, what it's kind of reminds me of like the when you've got like the Divas Championship and stuff in WWE, like why would, as Sasha Banks put it on the Stone Cold podcast, like why would anybody want to hold that belt when they could hold like a really lush world title like the guys do? So why not just have something like that?
I mean it's another yes from me. Yeah, I was worried you were going to say for a second that it would be a giant tooth shape one, like a smoking skull, but for Britt Baker. No, I just like the idea of a palette swapped men's one. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's a good shout.
I personally hate how WWE's titles are all the same. I used to love them when they were different. So I'm going to say yes to your pitch there, Andrew, because it just needs to be bigger. I like the design of the AEW women's title. I just don't like the size.
Yeah.
It just needs to be bigger.
It does.
Yeah.
Lots bigger.
When Nyla Rose was the champion, big strong woman, it looked like a toy. It looked so sick. It only worked with the only woman small enough was Riho when she had it. And even that looked a bit small on her. So, yeah, I think that's a good shout, Andrew. Well done. Well done. Thank you. I'll go for my first one. I might just kick off with my silly one straight away. I'm going to do it. It's not even silly, though. I genuinely want it to happen. So one of the biggest matches in the build-up has been Cody Rhodes versus Anthony Ogogo. And Tony Khan loves, we know this, he loves buying the rights to real life songs and giving them to his wrestlers, such as Tarzan Boy and Where Is My Mind and Wild Thing, most recently as well, for Jon Moxley. So I think Cody will come out, he'll have a one-off entrance. But this is, so Tony's bought the rights, but just for this one show. Because have you seen Rocky IV? No, okay. At the start of Rocky IV, Apollo Creed comes out to James Brown's "Living in America." Brilliant song. He's dancing around. He's got the Stars and Stripes on. It's all very American. And then he gets literally killed by a big Russian. So I think that it bodes well for if Cody comes out. He's probably got some Stars and Stripes attire on. He's dancing around, living in America, and then the lights go down. We're all ready to see what Anthony Ogogo is going to come out to. And Tony has only gone and purchased, right? New Order's World in Motion. And I think if we can also get John Barnes involved as well to do the John Barnes rap midway through the song, that would be the icing on the cake. We know that John Barnes knows all the words to the rap still, because I believe he just does it at any given... If anyone ever asks John Barnes to do the rap, he just does it. So I think that if we managed to get that song for Anthony and get John Barnes involved as well, I think that would just set the place alight. Unfortunately, because of travel restrictions, not going to be a lot of international fans there. In an ideal world, this would be in a post-COVID world where a lot of Brits and English fans could have gone over, and that would have just been incredible. It was between that and Three Lions, but John Barnes tipped it for me. So I'm going to have to go for World in Motion. It's a bit of a babyface song, but then Ogogo is the babyface in this feud, so... I think it just works.
Do you want to go? You've made me sad there, you know.
Why?
Thinking about the crowds, I never thought about that dynamic where English fans would maybe go over and support Ogogo, like, you know,
as if it was a boxing match.
Yeah, it's made me sad that we're going to miss out on that one. They should hold off on that match, for goodness sake. But also, Living in America makes me think of Tyson Fury. Do you see that entrance he did with that song?
Oh!
And he just took the P-I-S-S, so he did, Andrew, out of America and all of their Americanness.
Was it James Brown he ended to in Saudi Arabia as well? Different song.
It's your thing.
Yeah, was that James Brown?
Do what you want to do.
Yeah. Sure.
We're going to get copyright claimed after that. I don't know who it is.
Say someone who has ended to James Brown before, Andrew, is Ross Tweddle.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Upwards of three people heard it, Andrew, because we had a wrestling show with a speaker system that you could not hear from the centre of the ring. The speakers were at the entrance ramp, and to the centre of the ring, you couldn't hear the speaker. So I walked out to James Brown's The Boss, because that's the theme I've always dreamed of, because, you know, boss, it rhymes with Ross.
It does.
And I walked out there and sat next to Jim Cornette and made a fool of myself.
This was in America, don't worry. Our shows in the UK were always, the production was top notch. It was just the limitations of moving the show across overseas, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm fully on board with everything you've just said there.
Cheers.
But sorry to burst your bubble as well, but Anthony Ogogo's got a proper AEW theme. I beg my pardon, I think I just burped there. It's like a Peaky Blinders sort of parody.
Oh,
okay.
He just said to Mikey Ruckus, oi, Mikey, can I have you ever seen Peaky Blinders? And apparently Mikey said, yeah, because it sounds like that.
Okay, well, fair enough. So it's like, what's it called?
That's right hand.
That works for him as well, but just, especially with the Euros being around the corner, I just think it needs to be a football song, doesn't it? So it's a yes. It's a yes from you, Ross.
Mm-hmm. I'll go for a yes as well. I think that would be good.
Andrew.
You're very welcome. I haven't got much more to add to that, but yeah.
I think you'd admit that you're not the biggest football fan, but do you know the song?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, like New Order and stuff are really good. Yeah.
Give us a verse, Andrew. Go on, do the John Barnes.
I do the John Barnes. Yo, I'm John Barnes.
No, he doesn't know that well.
That was just you might have just lost your job there, unfortunately.
Are you sure you know the song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mum's weak, arms are heavy, there's vomit on his sweater already. That's the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Andrew is American. He's turned American on us here.
Something, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that's right. Ross, please.
You really are a bad man, aren't you?
Oh, my God.
I thought this was all a joke, what was going on with all these scandalous stories about you, but you not knowing the John Barnes rap.
You've
got to hold and give.
Do it at the right time.
I'm John Barnes.
You can be slow or fast, but you must get to the line.
Yep.
You can fill in on any of these lines, Andrew, if you want. They always hit you and hurt you, defend and attack. There's only one way to beat them.
Round back.
Yes! Round back. Yes.
My second pitch, everybody. I'm going to Hangman versus Brian Cage for this one, because I was thinking, let's go for one of the sleeper matches and do something saucy with it. I think Hangman is obviously going to win this match as he continues his long and winding road to eventually getting to Kenny Omega and taking the world title off of him. But I was thinking about this match, and for some reason, in the back of my mind, popped that third hour of whatever it's... What's it called? Rampage?
Mm-hmm.
Rampage?
On a Friday night.
The new thing that they're going to do.
Yeah, that popped into my mind and I got worried, because if there's one thing I know for sure is that I don't want more wrestling. I just want better wrestling within the time constraints that we currently have. More is not always the best thing. So I was thinking, that third hour, FTW title, let's put those two things together and make some bloody magic. So I'm proposing the Cage is somehow screwed in this match. Hangman comes away with a victory that I think we all know he's going to get, because obviously Cage, he upset Hangman on Dynamite a few weeks ago, didn't he? So he's going to get his win back. Obviously Cage is very angry at that thing happening. He goes backstage and he proper sort of collars Tony Khan. He throttles the little guy. He throttles the owner of AEW. He says, man alive, I am so upset with you, TK, that not only did the Fulham Football Club out of London, England, which... it's how Americans say that name in full. The Fulham Football Club out of London, England. They got relegated from the Premier League. Now you let this happen to me, Brian Cage, at your WrestleMania. Double or nothing. I'm not happy with it, TK. Unlike Tay-Tay, I'm not going to shake this one off.
Oh.
I've carried this thing. I had to ask Andrew who Taylor Swift was earlier on. So I forgot. I completely forgot who it was.
He just went, who's that lass that sings? And I was like,
Do John Bond's rap word for word, but it doesn't make sense.
Shake it off. And he holds up the FTW title. He's like, I've carried this thing around for bear time, fam. And it means bugger all. It's about time we did something with this, fam. This is Brian Cage speaking, by the way.
Why is he saying fam?
I got no idea. You give me that hour on the Friday or I'll bite your bloody nose off and I'll snap your neck in half right now. Give me that final hour on Friday. And because Tony Khan is fearing for his life, he says, fine. Taz, Brian Cage, Team Taz, Hook in particular, you can all have that 1 hour on a Friday every single week on whatever channel it's on. So I'm saying that, because it airs at 10 p.m. this brand new show, which I think... I'm right in saying this, after SmackDown. So SmackDown ends and then this AEW show begins. Don't quote me on that. I'm just assuming that's what's right.
This show's only 1 hour. When you say the third hour, you mean an extra hour on top of Dynamite.
So Dynamite's 2 hours on a Wednesday.
Yeah, right. Got you.
This Rampage is 1 hour on Friday.
Right.
What I've been led to believe. Is that true, Andrew? You do the news
more
than most.
Yeah.
So I'm suggesting that the FTW title becomes the centerpiece of this Friday night Rampage show. And because it's on at 10 p.m., it's after the Watershed. Let's have something that we haven't really had in the mainstream before. Let's have a proper sort of adult wrestling show. You know, let's have a proper gritty... I'm not saying Raw Underground because that's what's popular in my mind. I'm not saying that one. Similar aesthetic maybe because there's lots of bangs going on in this building. There's someone breaking in.
I can't hear you. I can't hear any. Uh-oh.
Someone's coming up the stairs.
Oh,
who's that? Who is it?
It's Tony Khan.
It's a cleaner. Not Kenny Omega. Fraser. Yeah. Just the office cleaners. But I like the aesthetic of Raw Underground. That's the sort of vibe that I get when I think of Taz and FDW, which doesn't mean for the win, kids. It means something else. It means F that world. This is where maybe some of the edgier members of the roster, your Joey Janela's, people like that, can thrive in this sort of very different feeling to Dynamite. 1 hour on a Friday night where people are having beers and whatnot because, you know, it's the weekend and all that stuff that we do when we do the weekend and stuff and like that. So basically what I want is just a different feeling show to Dynamite completely, which I think is what they need. Let's just not have another like bolt-on hour to Dynamite to prolong things that are happening on Dynamite. Although I guess some people might say that so much happens on Dynamite that maybe a third hour is needed. But I don't think that personally. I quite like the 100 miles an hour every single Dynamite goes. Now they don't let anything rest. And it's just things happening all of the time. I love that. But this final hour, give it to Team Taz and make the FTW Championship the centerpiece. Grittier sort of production. Grittier storylines. Grittier action. All of the grit on a Friday night.
I like it. It's another thumbs up for me, Ross, because one criticism that I've seen cropping up recently, and I partially agree with as well, is that AEW have just grown their roster too quickly, too soon. They've got a huge roster, and it feels like sometimes maybe they're trying to get all these shows or invent all these shows to find things for a lot of them to do. But with Dark and Dark Elevation, I feel like they're more developmental shows or where the developmental guys can have a match with the more experienced guys. Whereas I think there needs to be something like a second tier thing. Not as low down as Dark. I think that hopefully this Rampage thing will be like a SmackDown to Dynamite's Raw in theory. So I like it. I think it works. And I'd watch it. I'd watch it on catch up. I wouldn't watch it on the Friday night. But I'd watch it, and I think that it opens the door for a lot of different things. As long as you say, it doesn't become Raw Underground, because that was just dreadful sometimes.
It looked good. It just wasn't executed very well, was it?
Yeah.
It's a yes from me. Yes, let's get some stuff going on with that FTW belt. That'd be really cool. And I like the idea of a more adult show as well. Obviously, with the FTW belt in there, instantly I was like, oh, like an ECW kind of thing. Maybe not like to that degree, but... sprinkle a little bit of that GCW flavouring on there or something, like you said, with Joey Janela and stuff. And I think that would be really cool. And yeah, and as Jack was saying, it gives sort of other, maybe lesser used people on the roster some more time to develop and shine and stuff. So I'm all down for that, lad.
Because I was thinking, like, imagine you get to the end of Dynamite and a massive angle is happening. And then Tony's like bringing back WCW vibes. Tune in on Friday night to find out what happened. As everyone stood there going like, I couldn't do that, me. Too much of a gap from Wednesday to Friday, isn't there? Too much of a gap.
I'm worried that is going to happen now that you've said it. They won't be able to resist having Tony shout that.
I know. I just hope it's like its own self-contained hour. Just another thing that, because you could have the Dynamite storylines bleed over. Pay a visit to this other place that isn't Daly's place. But yeah, I just hope it's not a bolt on that just dilutes Dynamite. That's my biggest fear. It's my biggest fear for AEW since the start. It's just them doing too much wrestling.
I think it's good though that it's an hour. It's like NXT UK. That's a really like solid, concise wrestling show.
We all love your NXT.
How do you
UK.
Know, Andrew?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I watch NXT UK.
No, you don't.
Same.
I do, genuinely. No, like you might think I'm joking, honestly. It's good. It's just nice and concise.
You are a traitor to the once thriving UK independent scene.
Oh my God. I'm a horrible man.
Supporting the sellout promotion.
Damn it.
What reels you in, Andrew? I'm genuinely intrigued here. What reels you into NXT UK?
Like genuinely the wrestling, obviously, like Mustache Mountain and stuff, and they've been bringing new guys in, like Ben Carter. He's changed his name now. I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, but like
Ken Shamrock.
He's changed his name to Ken Shamrock. There's Ben just Shamrock. Really good stuff on there, and the Heritage Cup stuff is really fun to watch as well. Just like a bit different, and yeah, like A-Kid. A-Kid's
no,
cool.
Didn't Noam Dar have a dog or something?
Noam Dar did give Ilya Dragunov a dog. I'm not entirely into Ilya Dragunov's little storyline thing that he's got going on, but they have good matches, like obviously Walter and Dragunov and stuff in there as well.
The talent on there is incredible. It's more the
lack of characters storytelling.
But you know, each to their filthy.
Yeah, don't let me make you feel bad about your support of NXT UK, Andrew. I'm just genuinely wondering why you watch that thing.
It's one of them things, like when you've seen, you like consume so much wrestling, it's hard to keep up, but that one is just literally an hour. You can blast it all in just one go, one sitting, and you can be doing something else at the same time, because sometimes some of the stuff isn't too compelling. But anyway, we should be doing AEW. We're talking about AEW, guys, NXT UK. Right. My so second pick. Oh, go on,
who's
sorry.
Who's specifically in NXT UK? No, I'm joking. Go on.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, right. So my second pitch is that Ethan Page really, really, really reignites his Evolve feud with Darby Allin this time. Oh, give it to me. So I've written down here, let's get this feud back in full effect. What?
What did you just say?
What?
What did you just say?
What do you mean?
I just heard something in my ears and...
What did you think I said?
A fizzing sensation.
I don't know what you thought I said, but let's get this feud back in full effect. It never ended in a satisfying way back in Evolve, like it was supposed to. So obviously, they're in a rivalry that lasted well over a year, and Paige and Allin were supposed to conclude it in a last man standing match, but then during the match, Ethan Page hit Darby Allin with a shovel. It like gashed his arm open. He like apparently chipped the bone and stuff in there as well. So Darby lost that match, and then they never really crossed paths again until obviously recently on AEW. So I'm thinking, you know, we've had like Page throw Darby down the stairs, and he and Scorpio have like interfered in like Darby losing the TNT title and stuff. But I want to see this keep. I want to see this keep rolling. I want to see it keep going. And I feel like we're all expecting Sting and Darby to win at the pay-per-view.
And I genuinely can't tell. It's a hard one for me. I genuinely can't tell what they're
going to do. Well, this is like my idea, right? It's obviously Sting's first match back in front of a live crowd since 2015. Mm. And I can see them wanting to put him over in that because that's just like a big thing and you get a big pop from it. But I think a great way to subvert the expectation would be for Scorpio and Paige to win this match, maybe by nefarious means. As to, you know, don't make Sting look too weak. But after the match, you know, you could have like Paige keeping to his word that he said on Dynamite, I think last week, that he's going to take everything away from Darby Allin. And then so you get a post-match beatdown from Sky and Paige, and they really take it to Sting and Darby. Paige is like, he's doing his thing. He's just yeeting Darby about. Whoop.
Oh, that's buckets. The kid's word for throwing, isn't it?
Yeah. Buckets, he's yeeting him about. He like yeets him to the outside, and Sky's just like putting Sting through a table or something, making sure he's down and out, basically. But Darby, being the crazy boy that he is trying to get back in the ring after a hellacious beating to save his friend, but he's done. He's spent, he's limp, he can barely hold himself up. So Scorpio pins Darby into the corner, and Paige approaches him, and he's like, I took it all away from you back then, Darby, and I'll take it all away from you again now. And then Paige, he reveals a shovel and starts attacking Sting. Oh. Yeah, he's bringing it back. Whoa. And starts attacking Sting in brutal fashion. And he's just making Darby watch on as his friend and mentor is just left motionless in the ring. And let's start it up. Let's get it going, guys.
And then this would presumably lead to like a really intense feud between Darby and Ethan Paige, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who wins that? I mean, I wouldn't mind who. I don't think I'd mind who won that feud, to be honest.
I can tell you where that feud's going, man. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's going to be a graveyard match, isn't it, with a shovel? Get Vampiro back in.
And then an inferno. What was the one where Vampiro took Sting up to the top of the Nitro Tron?
Yeah, and he threw him off.
What did they used to call the Tron in WCW?
Turnitron. Turnovision.
Was it the Turnitron? Okay. And then he Sting disappeared, and then a smaller man dressed as Sting jumped off the top.
That's what we're going to get. But no, I'd really like to see this whole thing back in effect. And like Ethan Page was saying, why not just break Darby Allin down, just have him start losing loads of matches and stuff. And then finally, when we get to the payoff of all this, because it's literally been like years in the making and stuff, have Darby finally win that bout, like get his comeuppance. And then, yeah, I just think that would be really cool. And a good way to finally see that feud actually satisfyingly end too. So, yeah.
I like it. It's another yes. I hate videos where we just all agree, but it's another yes from me. I really like the idea of AEW being able to, because they've always been more open to referring to the history of other promotions. Sometimes they don't do it enough, which I think is why a lot of people have been confused by the Elite quite a lot. But sometimes when they do it well, it can really pay off. And I think that this would be a great example of it. So it's a full on yes from me. Give it to me, as you said earlier.
Woo.
Oh, give it to me. Yes. I liked it too. I just, one thing I'm struggling with is, as big as a Sting fan I am, I'm struggling with the fact that all of the younger, fitter, stronger, less brittle wrestlers all run away from Sting. So the fact that you've had him attack with a shovel, I very much like it, Andrew.
Thank you. I'm choking on water. I'm choking on water now.
He did.
Who's gone? He's down. Alive. He's back.
It's all right.
There were quite a few weeks in the build-up to the warehouse match where Sting would chase off all of Team Taz on his own just by walking out, and Taz would go, "Ah, the snow!
We'll get you next time!"
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Anyway, I'm now going to... Yeah, I think I'll keep it with the Team Taz theme that Ross brought up earlier. And the Casino Battle Royale theme, actually, because I have a winner in mind, a particular one for the Casino Battle Royale. And it doesn't make total sense, but I just want to see the match, really. I think most of us are guessing that some babyface or another is going to win the Casino Battle Royale, because I think we're all assuming that Omega's probably going to retain the belt. And then that'll lead to a match between him and a babyface. But I think a heel should win. And I know it would lead to a heel versus heel match, but I do think with the right tweaks in the booking, the crowd will get behind him. And I want it to be Powerhouse Hobbs. Mm. I think he's a very believable winner of a battle royal, because look at him, and he can yeet people willy nilly wherever he wants. Yes, absolutely. And I think that if you look at the way that Omega was matched up with people in New Japan, his best matches came against just hard-hitting, hard lads like Ishii. And, well, no, Omega had good matches with everyone, but I always enjoyed his matches the most when he wasn't the physically dominant one. And I think that if Hobbs got his hands on Omega, that would be a fantastic match. I'm not saying Hobbs should beat Omega. I, like all of us, I think, want Hangman to be the one who beats Omega. But I think Powerhouse Hobbs should be the one who goes on to have that title shot. They could even make it cause a bit more tension within Team Taz. Jealousy from the other, well, from Ricky Starks especially. Maybe Brian Cage is a bit more positive because he seems to be the slightly all right one. I don't really know what's going on there, but I think they could go with different ways in it. The obvious weakness of this pitch is that it would lead to a heel versus heel match. But if it's just on a Dynamite, I don't know if that's too bad a thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew?
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. Change up the dynamic because we do usually see just the babyface is going up against Omega at the moment, and Omega just like really healing it up and building that. But to have like Powerhouse Hobbs win, that would be a nice dynamic to see. Like you were saying as well, Omega has really good matches when he's not the most physically dominant one in the match. So I would really like to see that. And I think it subverts again expectations of us thinking that a babyface is going to win the Casino Battle Royal. So yeah, I'm all down for that one, Jeff.
I never thought of that, but you've added an extra reason. So thank you very much.
There you go.
That's great. Cheers. Ross?
I'll give it a go.
Go on then.
Yeah, why not? I'll give it a go. He was very impressive in his match against Christian, so if he can do it against Christian, of course he can do it against Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Plus, I know I've made Team Taz a centerpiece of one of my pitches here today, but as they are currently, without my pitch actually being reality, I don't like Team Taz.
Oh, You don't like them?
Oh, no. They're not very good, are they?
No, they should be a lot more dominant than they are.
Yeah, they should be. They just like put the stand there and go, oh, we'll get you soon. We'll do it. We'll do it. Don't tempt me. I'll do it.
Despite having two massive, terrifying lads, the one who often turns the tide of brawls in their favour is Hook, just running in from behind and just taking out the leg.
He is just stunning.
He's gorgeous. Yeah, what
brown cow stunning, as they like to say on RuPaul's Drag Race.
He's the new hunky teen on the Hollywood scene. Oh God, I've taken that from a tweet video. I can't remember what I was gonna. Yeah, Hook's really good looking. Ross, what's your third and final pick?
So I was tempted to just pick War Geordie Pack, bringing it here for the Geordie boys in the what I presume is going to be the main event of Double or Nothing.
I think they could make it Stadium Stampede.
Yeah, they could do that, but they might make their title match their main event. But I thought, there's something saucy to do here. So Kenny Omega wins. Kenny Omega retains his title against Orange Cassidy and War Geordie Pack. And I presume that massive pile of chips is going to be there inside Daly's place. So he stood on top of those, doing what all heels do, dancing and prancing and showing off with his big shiny title. A man in a balaclava attacks Kenny Omega.
Oh.
Attacks Kenny Omega from behind, hitting the belt collecting cleaner with a coquina clutch.
Oh, that's not what I thought. I was waiting for a go to sleep. I was like, here we go.
No. It's okay. Bloody Samoa Joe, isn't it? Joe then literally steals. He takes the titles away from the belt collector. He goes, nah, 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 nah. Like Rhea Ripley, because that's very effective work in the wrestling. And he runs away. And then we set off on this thing where the belt collector has had his belts taken by Samoa Joe, who should have been world champion in WWE. We all know this. 2017, it should have been his time, but it wasn't for whatever reason. So here we go. Samoa Joe in the main event scene of AEW alongside Kenny Omega with a sort of the heel chase and the baby face because he's got all of his things and taken away the only thing he cares about in the world.
That's good. And I think there'd be some wonderful interactions between Samoa Joe and Don Callis as well. Remember what he did to Heyman? That was great. Heyman still hates him for that. Did you hear what he said on, was it on Raw Talk or Talking Smack? Heyman was like, we don't talk about people who don't work here anymore. We don't talk about Samoa Joe or Kayla. Yeah. He just Wait, no. Kayla's still there. Who did he say? Charlie Caruso, I think he said. But yeah, it was Heyman shooting from there.
Damn.
It's a big yes for me, Ross. I'm a huge Samoa Joe fan. I thought he was badly underutilized in WWE. It's sad that our last great memory of him in WWE is him in a poncho at WrestleMania. And I thought, even if he's not got much, you know, mileage left, because he's, you know, he's not the youngest and he's, you know, been through quite a lot of hectic matches in his time. Even if he only has a few matches, I'd have him on commentary on any of AEW shows. I think he's a fantastic commentator as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, or as an authority figure, just any role. I think it was you initially who pitched that, Ross, Joe, as an authority figure as well.
Must have been this time last year. There was a segment where, I forget who was in the ring, but Samoa Joe was sort of mediating a contract sign or something. I just thought, wow, you're like a proper GM, you do, Samoa Joe. But a GM who would take no SHIT, because he would beat the SHIT out of you if you tested him.
I liked him in the build-up to Stand and Deliver. He was doing the interviews between the two. He would interview all of the title competitors and stuff. So it would cut between him interviewing, like, Karrion Kross or Balor or whatever. And he'd seem really... He's just really convincing. He's really convincing you that it's real. And it's a big yes from me.
I've just realised an issue with that pitch. The release date and the 90-day no compete.
It's not what we want to happen.
To be fair, I didn't say the Balaclava came off. Mm. So we could do, it Rhino in Impact?
Rhino did that.
Yeah, we'll do a Rhino from Impact. That's what we're doing here. A massive burly man in a Balaclava hits a coquina clutch and has mannerisms like Samoa Joe, but we don't actually know it's Samoa Joe. So going on forward from here, we're asking who stole the belt. Who has taken the belts? All of the roster gets interviewed. We have some great times until July the 14th, is it?
Whatever that Wednesday is in July
where the 90 days are up. And then it's revealed to be Samoa Joe, who hits once again a very Samoa Joe-looking coquina clutch on Kenny Omega. There's the pitch saved. Thank you for your time. I'm away home.
What? Yes.
Oh, he's off? No, he's not.
Oh, see
you.
Bye.
So it was a yes from me. Sorry, go on, Andrea.
Sorry, yeah, yes from me. Would just love to see Joe in AEW and being used how he should have been booked in WWE. He should have been a world champion. He should have done so many, many, many more things. And there's so much good talent in AEW that I think would mesh really well with Joe as well and Joe's style. And I'm going to be salivating on that Wednesday when that finally does. Well, fingers crossed when that does happen. I was going to say, is he, you know, he's got his balaclava on, but can he wear like his shorts? So people are just like, oh, I wonder who it is. But
who do we actually think is going to be the casino? Is there any obvious one this time for who's going to be the casino battle royale man?
Let me tell you.
Okay, it can't be Mojo. Can Natalia? Mojo is next week.
I thought you said Natalia.
No, I said let me tell you, Jack, because
Natalia. I was like, yeah,
that
Natalia.
Could lead into my next pitch there.
Go on, then.
Ready? Would you like to hear it?
It's a nice segue.
It was a nice segue. I didn't mean to cut anybody off there, but this is a nice segue, right?
Did it anyway, though, didn't you?
God.
You bad man.
Makes me really uncomfortable. It's Pachetti's fault. It's all Pachetti's fault.
I'm not doing a good job of, like, you know, defending myself, though, really, because I keep doing naughty things.
This is psychological. This is what I want you to feel.
Right, okay. So this is about the Casino Battle Royale, and who is going to be the mystery man in the match? I obviously think this is very unrealistic, but, well, not very unrealistic, but it's what we want to happen anyway, so it doesn't matter. I think a few of us, I think myself in particular, are expecting sort of Christian Cage to win this one because it seems to be sort of where they're building up to it. A title match between
Omega.
I heard
some people say that was too obvious, but I also imagine towards Christian, I think. Mm. But yeah.
So, you know, why not throw a curveball in there, though, guys? Why not throw a curveball in there to make people think, oh, maybe not, maybe not. So we come down to the final three. And it's, so we've got Christian Cage, we've got Penta, and we've got Powerhouse Hobbs. I even wrote that down there, Jack. There you go.
Nice.
There's an anticipation in the air. The crowd are counting down. Who's going to be this final person in the match? 3, 2, 1. Brief silence. Oh, has something gone wrong? Has something gone wrong there? Who could it possibly be? Stop it. Stop teasing us, Mr. Tony Khan. And then on the Tron, flashes. A giant yes emerges Oh, sorry. No, I got that wrong there. Yeah, a giant what? Yes emerges. That's yeah. what I meant to say. A giant yeah,
you
yes.
did. You did, didn't you?
I did do that, that, but then I like read on. I'm not reading my notes properly.
Oh.
But it's none other than the man himself. It's Mr. Daniel Bryan. The crowd pops. Imagine the crowd popping for Daniel Bryan in this moment. It comes charging to the ring and away we go. Penta and Evil Uno, they're eventually eliminated and we're down to Bryan and Christian. Both have faced each other in WWE. They've had some good matches as well together in WWE. And both have similar stories in that, you know, they come back from career-ending injuries to defy the odds and return better than they've ever been before. They're both former world champions, but they never were never really booked quite right or seen as the true faces of the company by the big wigs up there. Both incredibly hard workers that more than deserve their opportunity to be at the top spot and reign dominantly with a title. And more specifically, obviously, in this situation, the AEW world title. So they have a big old battle. There's many a tense moment. Who's going out? Whoa, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, as each wrestler tries to throw one another out of the ring until ultimately it's Christian. Christian winds up on top. But Bryan doesn't look bad in defeat. He's hungry. He wants more and he'll get more. He wants to do everything, hold everything and wrestle everyone he can before closing the chapter on his wrestling career. And I'd kind of like to see Daniel Bryan go between loads of different companies and try and snag that top spot. And I think we've heard that he would really like to wrestle in New Japan and maybe he caps off his career in New Japan by getting the New Japan world title. Whoa. which would be nice. I'd quite like to see that. But yeah, Daniel Bryan as the mystery man. Mystery? What? Say it properly. Mystery man in the Casino Battle Royal.
Andrew, it is a no for me. Whoa! Because, first of all, I'm saying yes to the idea of Bryan doing what he wants on the Indies. I think we all want to see that as long as he's safe to do so. But the no for me is that if they were going to debut Daniel Bryan, I wouldn't want it to be in the Casino Battle Royale. I think he deserves a grander stage of them all, not that one, to make his AEW debut. So I'm afraid, especially losing. I can't get fully on board. So I'm sorry.
Okay, no, that's
and,
fair.
And I'll admit, if every single pitch hadn't been a yes so far, I may have given this one a yes. But just to add a bit of spice, I'm going to go with a no, I'm afraid.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Andrew, would you like a sweet, eh?
Yes, please.
I just heard Jack say spice and he popped in my head, did Chris Eubank. But I'm going to go for a yes because the thing I like most about your pitch, Andrew, is not the fact that it's Daniel Bryan. It's the fact you're turning Christian heel.
If
Christian did that, he would come out with it a heel. And as we all know, Christian is one of the best heels of the past however long. I loved heel Christian, especially 2004. Should have been a world champion around that time. Unbelievable stuff. So yeah, outwork everybody when Darby Allin's doing what he does on Dynamite every week. I don't think you are, Christian, pal. You're a liar. And also a heel already, probably. But in Andrew's pitch, it's rubber stamped beyond any shadow of any doubt. So I like it.
Nice. Thank you.
We're on to the last one, and it's mine. And tragically, I've not saved a very exciting one for the end. I should have saved World in Motion for the last one, but I jumped the gun. I'm going to the tag team match between the Young Bucks and Moxley and Kingston, because I genuinely don't know who's going to win that one. I'd like to see the Bucks lose, but I don't know if that's just because like I hate them at the minute. But is that good from there? Is that a good thing? I don't know. So I'm going to say that Moxley and Kingston... Oh, this pitch isn't going to go down that well. Moxley and Kingston are on the verge of winning. They're about to beat the Young Bucks. Everyone's going absolutely crazy. I'm stalling for time here because I know it's underwhelming. And then they are screwed and the Bucks win with the help of FTR.
No.
Because they're not joining. Don't worry, they're not jumping between the two factions. Don't worry about that. Because they and I am still really annoyed at FTR versus the Bucks with the result of that match. FTR should have won that. Excuse me, I'm nearly throwing up. I'm so angry. FTR should have won that match. And what reminded me of this was Cash Wheeler's tweet. I don't know if you saw it, where he said, "I have the best 450 springboard in the business and I'm never doing it again." Because he did that and it lost them that match. And I think FTR will want to prove that they are the best tag team in the world. And I'd like to think that the Bucks aren't as crap as they've seemed, because they brought in FTR and then beat them, and there's been no rematches. I need FTR to level it up. So I think I'd want FTR to stop Moxley and Kingston from winning with the motivation that they want the Bucks to still be champions, so that once they've dealt with the Inner Circle, they can go after them. Again, the problem is I have booked a heel versus heel feud here. So I don't know if it would work. Obviously, they were heading for a heel versus heel feud the first time around, and that went so badly that the Bucks had to kind of quickly turn themselves face again and just go, sorry, Marvez, for kicking you and breaking your phone and all that. So I'm still standing by it, but I'll admit there are weaknesses to this pitch, but I just really want FTR to beat the Young Bucks at some point.
You've saved it. You've saved it. I was worried when you said FTR coming in attack. I was wondering where you were going from there, but the motivation is the correct one. It's logical. It makes sense. I don't care if it's heel versus heel. Just fantastic wrestling matches, aren't they? Mm. Pay-per-view quality. Restaurant quality. Picture in picture, as Jim Ross likes to say.
Why does he do that all the time?
I've got no idea.
It's like he's angry that he's got to do it, and he's really trying to wind up whoever's told him to.
Yeah. Irony, eh? Jim Ross. But yeah, I'm all for it. Makes sense from top to bottom for me.
I agree. You did save it there, because that would be really, really cool to see FTR just take the belts from the Young Bucks. I feel like even though it's heel versus heel, people would just be behind FTR anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would.
Yeah, I don't think there's much, like, I don't know. I don't think that would really matter that much. But obviously, I think FTR recently as well, they've been like, we need to focus on the titles and stuff, right, as well. So that would make more sense for them to come in and just be like, I'm going to take back what you took from us. So yeah, I'm down for that. And just another match between them two teams would be buzzing to see. So.
But there'd be a little mini feud first between FTR and Moxley, because they'd be angry at them. They'd want a bit of revenge. So yeah, it's not the most... I wish I'd gone for a more flamboyant pitch to end the video, but thanks for humouring it anyway. And thanks to all of you for watching as well our pitches video. Me and Ross with a perfect 3 for 3. I said no to one of Andrew's. I'm really sorry. I feel terrible now.
Don't feel bad.
All right. Yes, thanks once again for watching. And don't forget, we'll be doing predictions and Adam Pacitti will be live stream reacting to Double or Nothing this Sunday on YouTube. Hopefully the show's a really good one. And have you guys got any final... Ross, have you got anything, any final closing thoughts, first of all?
Fails on Monday. It's WTF moments in a different shacket.
Mm-hmm. And Ross is... Andrew, have you seen Ross's shacket, by the way?
Yeah, I've seen it. I like his shacket. I made the mistake of calling it a jacket, and he was like, excuse me, young man.
It says shacket on the label.
I'll admit that after we shot the news today, I googled shacket because I thought you'd made it up. But no, it's not. It's an existing... I thought you'd made up that word.
I tell you, I used to watch I'm a Celebrity a couple of years ago, and Ant McPartland, we would wear a shacket. And I was like, what's he wearing? It's like it's sort of a shirt, but it's too big to be a shirt. It's more like a jacket. Turns out he's wearing a shacket, wasn't he? Ahead of the curve, isn't he?
Oh, dear. Andrew, have you got anything to mention before we wrap this up?
I don't know. I just hope everybody enjoys the pay-per-view, because it's shaping up to be a blooming good one.
Such a bad person.
just too late to turn things around here, Andrew.
The nicest. I hope everyone enjoys it. No, I'm joining in now, and I promised that I wouldn't join in. I should mention that because Owen is off this week and because I am going for a meal, there will be no Football Manager stream this Wednesday, I'm afraid. We'll see if anyone wants to fill in actually on Wednesday, if anybody's free to. But yes, thanks once again for watching. Leave your pictures, why not, in the comments section down below, and we'll see you very, very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.